You're listening to the premier podcast for professional leaders by other professionals. We're going to be talking to the best of the biz about what they've learned along the way in their careers. We'll be giving you easy to understand tips that you can take and impact your business. Let's go. All right, well, welcome back. This is Kirk Clayton, host today for 343. And today I am sitting with Rory Browning, who is the president of JMC Brands. And Rory has been a professional in the ad industry for 16 years. He's worked for large New York agencies and small ones as well, small local agencies as well. He's had experience working with the U.S. Army account, and I know has done a lot of different kind of work within governmental agencies and various armed services as well. And we're going to hear about that, I'm sure, in a little bit. But Rory has owned and operated JMC Brands since 2010, in which time he's worked with brands such as Adobe and Disney and the Army as well. Rory has been married for the past 16 years, and he and his wife have two kids, 11 and 13. He's a hobbyist photographer. He's a black belt in Taekwondo and a soccer player and a coach. So, Rory, welcome to the show.
Kurt, it's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
I think I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say today. The topic is personal branding. And before we get into that, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what JMC Brands does and what its specialties are?
Absolutely. JMC Brands is a media buying agency, digital first, omni-channel media buying agency. Internally, we always say that we deliver the message, kind of like a marketing logistics. We don't always create the message. We don't always report or sell the message, but we make sure that the message is going to the right person at the right time. And so we're that middleman right in the middle that lives in spreadsheets and online systems that nobody talks about.
The guy behind the guy.
That's right.
So how did you get into this industry?
So in 2010, I left working for a New York ad agency and started off on my own. Started off as a pretty simple company doing websites, business cards, branding, and things of that nature. And not too long into it, I realized that there were some things missing in advertising, especially around mobile optimization. In 2010, that wasn't really that big yet. People were still having separate mobile websites as from their regular websites. If you recall that time, m.yourwebsite a big thing, right? So we wanted to really build a way that we could engage advertising online in a way that was mobile friendly and desktop friendly. A lot of the people that we were working with were like military recruiters, and they wanted somebody to visit their local station as comparing to just going to goarmy.com. And so we built systems around driving traffic to the local recruiter from the local high schools or the local events. And what grew from that was an entire ad platform, an entire trade desk system for buying and placing advertising all over the world. And so now we partner with lots of different agencies for delivering the message. And so we actually have reach globally, and we have something like 9 trillion impressions a day that we could deliver through all of our ad systems. So it's kind of one thing's led to another and grown over time. But the one thing has stayed the same is that the foundation principles of marketing are still true. We want to make sure that we're delivering the right message at the right time to the right person. And our systems that we've built over time really give us the ability to do that really well.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a field that you've grown with it, and it keeps continuing to change and give us challenges. And I think that's a relevancy for an agency like yours, is that there is never a solution that fits 6 months ago or a year ago that's now not changed. You know, as we enter into different kind of avenues for digital marketing and social media marketing, there's always different formulas and algorithms that are modifying how we're thinking about these things. And a lot of different ways that we can optimize that, which I'm sure you followed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, when the iPod came out, DJs everywhere were worried about losing their job. And with platforms like Facebook and Instagram, you know, they're so powerful where a user can click 2 buttons and now all of a sudden they're an advertising genius because the algorithms and all the systems that are built into it optimize for them automatically. But, you know, what a lot of people forget is that there's a lot of finesse that goes into being an expert in your field. One of our core values at JMC Brands is excellence. And it doesn't necessarily always mean that we do everything better than everyone else, but what it means is that we're getting better at our craft every single day. And like you said, because it changes so often and so frequently and in so many different ways, you know, if you're not staying up on that kind of all of the shifts in technology, then you'll find that you're at the back of the pack when literally 6 months ago you were at the front of the pack. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a constant changing environment, but that's kind of what makes it fun is that, you know, if you're anything like me, maybe not, but ADD kind of runs in my veins a little bit. So, you know, as things are kind of bouncing left and right, it's kind of sobering and a retreat for me to be able to stay up with all the things that are changing and going on.
Right. I like to think about it like we're both soccer guys. We both play soccer. I've been following it for years. You can put a ball in front of anyone. And if there's an empty net, anyone can kick that ball into the goal. Yeah. But in a game time situation, do you want someone that just learned how to kick a ball or do you want Messi on your team? And, you know, we're the ones that figure out how to bend the ball a little bit, how to put it in the right place, how to put it at the right time, and when the right time to shoot is. And
oh, yeah.
That's the difference, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's easy to kick it to the goalie.
Right. All right. So as I mentioned to start things off here, the topic today is personal branding. I think this is a really relevant topic for a lot of people right now because right now we're recording this in September of 2020 and we're kind of in this COVID pandemic situation. And there's a lot of people that are changing their career thoughts. They're changing how they think about themselves and their relevancy towards the work that they do. So I expect, I'm somewhat of a prediction here that people are going to be looking at different positions over the next year because either they were laid off or furloughed, or they used this time to think about how their career was important to their life, was important to everyone around them. So the idea of identifying who you are, what you do well, and it really aligns with personal branding, but there's not a lot of people out there that have thought about this. And I think this is a good time to start thinking about it, yourself as a professional and how you can define this. Because that's part of your message. That's part of your brand to get that out there clearly and concisely. So, Roy, let's start here with the why question. Why did you see that personal branding was something that was important to you and that was worth your investment?
A year ago, my company, JMC Brands, put on an event in Cleveland called the Adapted Digital Media Summit. And one of our keynote speakers was a gentleman by the name of Carlos Gill. And he had just written a book. We were actually the very first people to get the book. Funny story is that we actually got a copy of his book before he did, because they actually shipped the first batch of books directly to us to give away at this conference. And in the book, The End of Marketing, he talks specifically about people want to engage with people. They don't necessarily want to engage with brands. That got us thinking. Now, for years, people have been talking about thought leadership and how it can position your company in a good place against the competition. One of the things I know to be true is that people who Google my company typically find that they didn't know about us before. But after they find us and they read our articles and they see our business acumen show that we had put on before, they see clips of our conference from last year, they realize that there's a lot more to us than just a company. And it started my business partner, Joe Manns, and I down a road of how can we build a personal brand for ourselves, obviously show the thought leadership that we've invested over the last 16 to 25 years of learning and growing in the advertising industry, but also that we can engage as people with people and as a side effect. The symptom that's going to come along with that, I guess the good symptom that's going to come along with that, is that I can tell you about my company. And people don't like to be sold, but they like to buy, right? But at the same time, people buy from people who they know, they trust, they like. So we want to build relationships. And really, I think that especially in the midst of COVID, everybody is screaming for a relationship, something that's not covered up by a mask, something that's not through a Zoom meeting. They want to get back to face-to-face where they can be with their peers and their friends. And so especially now as we evaluate, should I start a podcast? Should I start a YouTube series? Should I start posting on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat or TikTok? All of those questions are very valid. And the motivation behind my why is how can I connect as a person with other people who are in my industry And what I found as a side effect is that not only do I have new friends in the industry, like yourself, but I also have potential customers and I have potential partners that I can call when I'm in a time of need if somebody needs something that I can't offer. And so there's not a lot of negative that I've found to this. Now, I've learned a lot of things over the last 6 months, specifically of very heavily focusing on my personal brand. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But that's a little bit about my why as to why I started looking at my own personal brand as a marketing tool for my company.
Yeah. Well, I think you captured it in a nutshell when you said that people work with people as opposed to businesses. Particularly, I think, when it comes to anyone in the professional service areas. So if you are, well, like us, if you're in the advertising marketing business, if you're in providing financial services, if you're in the banking, for example, you want to have a face there, someone that you can trust. You know, this we're taking that same soccer analogy. You want to have someone on the field with you that you can trust. It's not someone that you just met or a robot out there, which when sometimes you go to a website and you see there's no one behind it that's an actual person, I think to myself, okay, we know people are doing the work here. Why don't you just put a face behind it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a great why answer to that. So how did you go about it?
One of the things that we looked at first was how, in the midst of running multiple companies, because my partner and I actually run four companies together, how do we have time to focus on a message that's valuable and impactful at the same time of running all of these businesses and maintaining the day-to-day operations and putting out the fires as they pop up? One of the things that we did was early April is we gathered a team of videographers, graphic designers, and brand managers, and we actually built out a plan to create 6 months of evergreen content. And so this is the kind of content that's just going to be able to be posted and it can live there for a really long time. That gives us a firm foundation of content that we can rely on being posted on a regular basis. So for example, if you go to my Facebook page right now, which is Roy Browning Speaks, you'll see that there's a constant flow of posts, typically every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 a.m. And a new post will come out. Some of them are Book of the Month recommendations. Some of them are my favorite quotes. Some of them are quotes that I've said to people that I've put my photography behind and kind of made in fun, scripty fashion so that they're engaging. But the other thing too is we make a lot of YouTube videos. And so there's two particular projects that I'm working on that I'm really passionate about for my personal brand. And that is the Choices Project and the Attitude Project. Now, the Choices Project specifically gears around the choices that we make on a daily basis that help us to get further than we were before. It helps us to get further and faster. Things like being intentional with our time, being disciplined, choosing a positive attitude, focusing on the things that are the most important without losing focus on the big picture. I use the example a lot of the fact that I really want to be a great businessman, but I also really want to be a great dad, and I really want to be a great husband too. And the more that I focus on being a great businessman, the more that my family man time suffers. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say yes to work, I'm saying no to my wife, or I'm saying no to my kids. Mm-hmm. When I say yes to that late night meeting, I'm missing the soccer game. You know, and so sometimes you have to say no to something good to say yes to something great. Mm-hmm. Those kind of choices I've found have been really impactful in changing the way that I look at the way that I handle my week. So I've made videos around that. I made an overview video, and then I made a video on each one of the main six questions, which I mentioned some there. It's also application is a big one. How do we apply what we've learned, you know, so that we don't make the same mistakes again? It's kind of an overview of that project. And so that's some evergreen content there. The Attitude Project is another one that I'm really excited about. And that is just about spreading good news to the world. The fact that people deal with life, and life is experienced in all different ways, but we always have a choice of our attitude. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. It can be terrible. I tell my story about how I live with diabetes and how sometimes I can be a little grumpy when my sugar is a little off, but I have that choice. I can choose to let that feeling drive me, or I can choose my own attitude and let that drive myself and other people. So I tell stories about soldiers who lost loved ones in war and at home while they were deployed. I tell a story about a woman who fought for her life after having a transplant that ended up failing. Tell a story about another soldier who, how he inspires his team to get up and be motivated and to be high energy, even when, you know, it's tiring and it's a really hard job. And so those kind of things are I'm using my personal brand to fulfill some of my own personal passions, which is great, but it's also an opportunity to tell a little bit of my story. It's a way that I can share some of the things that I've learned. But it also, like I said, it's a chance for me to build a relationship with people one-on-one so they can see me, they can see the face. Yes, I'm the president of JMC Brands, but I'm a person. You know, I put my pants on one leg at a time like everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that personalizing a brand makes it more engaging. Yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about that.
Well, you think about where we're at right now, and probably neither of us have gone to an in-person networking event for the past 6 months.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of events, activities that we would take a chance to open the door to meet someone new, to give your story, to have a little bit of face time. And now it's on Zoom. And I mean, if you try to even speak up during a Zoom meeting that has more than five people on it, good luck in trying to actually get something across during something like that. You're impossible. But this is a great time to take advantage of what we have with multimedia and what we can get across. Well, as you mentioned, whether it's a podcast like what we're doing right here, whether it's a video cast, whether it's having simple messages out there with graphics or quotes or advice, whatever it may be, we have to take this advantage to get the message we want across, but in a variety of different ways. And I think it's really interesting that you're taking this as a chance to promote some of your personal beliefs and a holistic view of yourself, which it sounds like you're doing, as opposed to just simply treating this as a marketing effort for yourself or a professional advancement kind of an issue too. Because right now is a good time to evaluate all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that, you know, hopefully your fans don't get mad at you because you brought me on and I say this, but businesses make mistakes because we're made up of people. You know, and I've always believed that I am not going to hide my mistakes. I'm going to learn from them, and then I'm going to share them with you so that you can learn from them, so that hopefully you don't make the same mistake. Now, it's a personal belief, and you know, you can agree or disagree with this. You know, and anybody is entitled to their opinion. But I believe that we have shifted so far in the world that it's always the business's responsibility to have everything be correct, that we have taken away the personal accountability and responsibility of being a person who lives in this world. I had an interesting conversation with my kids. So we had a little bit of a scare. My dog got away when we were on a little family vacation, and it took about two or three days to find her. And of course, we were super happy that we were able to find her. And my friends who were watching her felt terrible. And so, of course, they didn't volunteer to watch our dog the next time that we went out of town. And so we needed to kennel our dog. And we decided that the vet would probably be a good choice for kenneling our dog because the vet knows our dog and they have good systems in place to make sure the dogs don't get away. Mm-hmm. And my daughter said something interesting. She said, well, if the dog got out, I bet you would sue them. And I said, well, that's a very interesting perspective. Why do you feel that way? I've never sued anybody in my life, and I don't talk about suing people, so I'm a little confused as to why she would think that. But she said, well, because they're a business, they should know better. I said, well, that's interesting, but aren't the businesses made up of people? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, would I have sued my friend when the dog got out of their house? Well, no, you wouldn't sue them. Well, why not? And it led to a great conversation about people are still people, even when they're working for a business. Accidents can still happen, right? You know, if my dog has a tendency to escape, and I know that, and I communicate that, you know, I'm doing the best that I can to prepare whoever is watching my dog, right? But that doesn't mean that something still can't happen. You know, if I train my dog to you know, bite things around the house, and then my dog nips at somebody or bites somebody, you know, if it's in a Petco, should Petco be responsible because I've trained my dog to do what I trained my dog to do? Well, it was innocent. It was just fun. We were just joking around with our dog at home, but now Petco is liable. And so I'm on a little bit of a tangent, but when you talk about the personal branding And do we show our mistakes? And, you know, for me personally, I have a family portion to my YouTube. I have a choices portion, attitude project portion. I also have the business portion. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes. And one of the things that I like most about speaking and, you know, hopefully someday writing a book is the chance that you don't make the same mistakes. But let me tell you one thing that's really important to me. I am accountable for my own actions and my own attitude. So whether I'm a business or I'm a person, that's something that I think is really important. When we put a face to a business that is a person, there's an inherent risk that that person might do something that makes the business look bad, mm-hmm. right? We've seen this with movie stars and pro athletes all over the place.
Right.
It's an inherent risk. And you know, if you put yourself out there as a personal brand, you're going to put yourself out there. And sometimes it'll be fluent and comfortable and inspiring, and people are going to follow, you know, virally. And other times you're going to do everything right, and you're going to put all the content out there over and over and over again, and it's going to take 2 years before you get the exposure that, mm-hmm. that you thought that you needed to get. But one of the things I really enjoy about personalizing a brand, personalizing my own brand, is that I can show my mistakes and show that I really am a person. You know, but also if there's an opportunity for us as people to take a little bit of the onus back on ourselves for being accountable for the decisions that we make. Grant Cardone says something really interesting in one of his books. He says that even if you're rear-ended, you have a partial part to play in being rear-ended because you chose when you left for work. You chose what route you went to work. Now, I'm not saying that it's not tragic if you get hit by a hit rear-ended.
All right.
But if we completely say that everyone else is to blame and we have nothing, then we have no opportunity for growth for ourselves. And that's what I'm passionate about, is personal growth and making me the best me that I can be. And what I compare myself to is who I was yesterday. You know, I might look at the people like the Grant Cardones or, you know, the Lewis Howes or the Kurt Clydens and say, I just wish that I could be as popular as these people. But, you know, that is something to aspire to, and that is something that will motivate you. But my mentor, and I'm part of his team, the John Maxwell team. John Maxwell says that motivation will get you going, mm-hmm. but it's discipline that keeps you growing. And building a personal brand is all about discipline as much as it is about anything else.
And the part of this that allows people to, I think, go in a direction that they want to is the intention of what they're doing. When you commit to a personal branding effort, you're intentionally promoting messages out there that you want to either aspire to or that you are right now. There are so many people that you start going down a path here that said that you are, when you're doing something, putting a message out there, that's part of your personal brand anyway, whether you like it or not. And there's a lot happening right now, particularly on social media, that is happening without probably full intention. The share button, sharing a meme, is so easy to do. It takes a matter of a second to push it. And you may have done that without even understanding what you're sharing. But now you've started going down a path in your personal branding that is not intentional. If you can commit to this, that's fine if you push the share button, but you have to make sure that this aligns with what you're doing. And I think particularly, and we're getting a little bit on the personal side here, but when in the political scheme here, there is so much identification with a certain party here or there, and let's just identify with that no matter what. Understand what you are putting out there and why this is important to you, not just blindly do it.
Yeah.
So the how part of it, of how you go about doing this, just starts with, I think, understanding what you want to say, what those intentions are.
It does, and there's two quick things that I want to point out. One is along the political realm. I saw an interesting post. I believe it was either CNN or it was the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about how when they surveyed people, people were actually not so far apart as they thought that they were, mm-hmm. but both sides blamed the other side for not giving in.
Right.
And actually, the majority of people want to get along with everyone else. And it was interesting. It made me think of an old quote. I believe it was Harry Truman, and hopefully you can fact check me later on and, you know, put something in the notes if I'm wrong. But he said that if you come to me with fists doubled, I guarantee mine can double as quickly. But if we sit down and take counsel together, I believe that we will see we're not as far apart as we once believed, and we will be able to move forward as brothers. And I think that where we are in the climate right now is that whether you identify as liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, I think that the same thing is true no matter what. We want to fight for our happiness. We want to protect our family. We want to have equality across the board. But at the same time, there are a lot of outspoken and maybe a little bit negative, cynical people that are sharing things that are being spread, and that spreads that negativity. Kind of back to the Attitude Project is like, personally, I really want to share positivity. Now, to get back to the personal brand and a specific how-to, one of the things that was really important to me was separating my personal Facebook account from my business Facebook account, which is something that's really hard to do. And I'll tell you why. When I post on my personal account, I get a lot of engagement. Because I have a lot of friends that I've built up. I was one of the first people on Facebook back in college when it first started. I have a lot of friends on Facebook. I didn't have many friends on Facebook for my business page. And it doesn't matter how much you promote your business page on your personal, your friends aren't all going to flock over there and want to listen to everything that you have to say about your business life. Sometimes they just want to know what's going on with you or your family or what you're doing this weekend. Or maybe they want to see a photo that you took that you're especially proud of. But what I wanted to make sure is if I shared something of my personal beliefs that does not align with my personal brand or the companies that I'm representing, I have a platform that I can still do that. I can still share a post that I think is funny or maybe share posts about diabetes or about funny kittens on my personal Facebook page. I have friends that are there that are my friends and my family. On my business page, it's very intentional what I'm doing with that space. And if I'm going to share something, it's going to be an impact on my personal brand and my company brands, which is what I talked about before, about the inherent risk when you put a personal face to a company. You know, one wrong share and all of a sudden now you're answering questions. Wait, I thought you believed X, but you posted Y. And so you kind of go down that rabbit hole.
How much of a Venn diagram do you see between in the intersection between the personal and the professional side of it? Because obviously, I think there's a lot of merit in having a bit of a personality and showing that you have the hobbies that you do on your professional side of things. It allows you to show the humanity behind you, but you could also make some connections behind that, some metaphors and so on. So how much overlap do you see there?
Yeah, for me, I'm pretty particular about how much overlap I allow. For example, my family will be in some of my videos and some of my posts, but only from behind. You know, it is a decision that my wife and I will make as to how much our kids are seen in social media, and until they get old enough to the point that they can make the decision of where they want to be seen in social media. I don't want whatever happens to me affect my kids, because this is my journey, right? And if there's things that I can learn, I can share with them, I will. But absolutely, people want to connect with people. And one of the big struggles with personal branding, and maybe you've seen this, but I am a family man. I am a husband. I am a businessman. I'm a soccer player. I'm a Taekwondo black belt. I'm a photographer. How do you fit all of this stuff into one profile? And so one of the hard things that we did in the beginning when we first started creating the evergreen content was, how can we layer in elements without it being too much, too broad?
Right.
And so I'll use my photography as backgrounds for my quotes, or I will use my family in my videos, but from behind. I will, maybe be wearing a Taekwondo shirt in one of my videos. So that way I can show some of these things. There might be some props in the back of the video that show some of these things. Now, I will say certain other things are much more present. Here in about a month, I have a video coming out about my personal struggle with diabetes. That is a very personal video. It's going to be shared on my personal page and on my business page. And that is 100% about my fears when I was diagnosed with diabetes and how I overcame those fears and was able to move forward beyond being stuck in this scary place. So there is a little bit of overlap there. And I do believe that gives you a really personal connection to somebody. However, the flip side of that coin, the danger is the more broad you are with your content, the harder it is to get followers, because somebody might really like your video about diabetes, but they might really hate your video about being a businessman. Mm-hmm. And so now you're starting to gain a follower over here, and then they're going to no longer follow you because now they're confused about your content. And so one of the struggles that I was having was doing that. And so we limited it to only three things in particular. We have the Businessman series, we have the Choices Project, and we have the Attitude Project. Those three things are the only three things that I'm going to post about over the next 6 months. And based on the feedback from the followers and the people that are engaging with the content, will help me to decide what kind of content I'm going to fill in the gaps with, like live videos and additional posts and sharing posts from other people, and what kind of stuff I'm going to make evergreen after that is after this 6 month run is done.
Okay. Well, let's move on because I want to find out what you've learned in this journey. And that always comes down to a mistake that was made or something that you that really caught your attention here. So you've been on this path for several months now, and you have defined the direction that you want to go. You've understood why you want to do this. What can you share with our audience as something that you've learned and been able to either go more in that direction or shift the way you're going?
Yeah, let me share two things that I learned that are pretty powerful. The first one being, using technology to assist you is a great thing, but you really want to make sure you understand that technology. And I use a platform to publish all of my posts. It's a company called Zoho. They have a CRM and things like that, but they also have a social plugin. There's tons of them, right? There's the Hootsuites and all the other ones that are out there. Mm-hmm. I chose this one in particular because there were some features that I thought were beneficial. But one of the things that we found out really quickly was as we were posting things, the posting didn't always post the way that you wanted it to. And so as you're trying to make yourself look like you're all put together and you know you got this figured out, it's pretty embarrassing when an example photo pops up instead of the actual photo, or the photo that was deleted 3 months ago because it came out wrong somehow magically ended up on social media. And, you know, technology is somewhat to blame. One of the things that I've talked about with people is that the power of technology is great to move forward and to make you more efficient with your time, but it is a very big danger if something happens in the world and you forgot about a scheduled post, or if you didn't align your scheduled post with something that was going on. You know, like for example, it's September, it's Suicide Awareness Month. I know that's something that's very important to you and I both, is making sure that people are aware that it's okay to not be okay, and it's 100% okay to ask for help. I can raise my hand myself, and you know, I see a counselor as well sometimes, because sometimes things just get too hard for me to understand on my own, and when we need help, we should get it. Well, posting something that is inappropriate during Suicide Awareness Month would be something that could be devastating to your brand if you're not careful, because you're using technology to post, and oh, I scheduled that 6 months ago, I didn't realize it was going to come out then. Mm-hmm. You know, so I talked with a government conference in March, and we were talking about using that technology. And I, you know, it was in the very beginning of all the COVID stuff. And I said, listen, if you haven't done this already, you need to go back through and look at every single post that you have posted for the next 6 months, because I guarantee you at least one of them is going to be inappropriately timed and you'll need to fix that. You can use it later. Use it next year if you need to. You know, it's probably good information, but you don't want it to come out at the wrong time, because now something that you meant to be sincere comes across as very offensive.
Right.
So that's one thing.
Can I ask a question on that before we jump to number two?
Sure.
So is the advice to not schedule, or is it the advice to schedule but revisit what you scheduled on a very regular basis?
It is definitely to revisit. Okay. I am a firm believer that set it and forget it is nowhere applicable ever, ever. It's so easy to do, especially with how easy some of the tools that they make it. I mean, even things from the subscriptions that you pay for in your personal household. Mm-hmm. I mean, when's the last time that you looked at the subscriptions you're paying on a monthly basis and seeing if you're actually using them?
Right.
Right. It's a great example. So the technology is there. Definitely use it, but don't set it and forget it. Keep an eye on it. Make sure that it's still relevant. Make sure that you're still hitting the right stuff. And it's also important to fill in additional content in between your posts. Keep it real. Right. You know, if you're scheduled every single second of every single day, it doesn't feel as real as when you just pop in. Yesterday, I was in a maze with my kids and I just did a live stream on Facebook because we were talking about direction and we were talking about being in a maze. I mean, you know, come on, those two go together, right?
Right.
So it was an impromptu.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely do not set it and forget it, but definitely use the technology.
I do like the opportunity to do those impromptu ideas, inspirations that come about. I know Gary V, if you're familiar with him, he's all about that. He'll record things while he's driving in the car or walking down the street, and it's just kind of a spur of the moment thing that comes to you. It's those shower moments.
Yeah.
But he's always recording. If that's part of your brand, that's fine. I know that's gonna be depends on what direction you want to go with it. But yeah. Thanks for the clarification. So what's the second part of that?
So the second thing is it has there are some tools out there where you can buy followers and you can buy likes. And one of the things that I learned was that these, for lack of better terms, let me call them fake page likes, mm-hmm. that these things give you the impression of doing very well for yourself, when in actuality, they are people who are being paid to just go like all these things that this company pays them to do. Now, I'm not saying that they're necessarily all evil or all bad, but what I learned is that they have a place. And so I actually kind of tie this together with organic advertising, like organic SEO website advertising and paid advertising. So if you pay, say like Google Ads, like you put a banner ad out there or you put some keywords out there, you're going to be number one as long as you're paying. But eventually you stop paying and you're no longer number one. If you're relying on your paid ads in that space to give you enough organic traffic to work your way up the rankings, it's not very likely to happen. You have to have an organic strategy at the same time. So you have to have an SEO plan to get your website up there. And so you use the two simultaneously. And in building a personal brand, I find that it's the same way. Because let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If you see a post on Instagram and the person has 15,000 followers, are you far more likely to give it a second look than a person who has 2 followers?
It's an interesting question. So to answer that, I'm a fan of TikTok, and I'm a content first person. And so if I'm seeing there on the For You page what comes up to you and there's their suggestions, I'll look at that. And if I appreciate the content that's there, that's great. But then there's times where I'll look at them like, that's great content, and I'll see like there's not many likes on it, or it's just someone getting started. I almost feel like I'm more inclined to like that, to support something if it doesn't have a whole bunch of people around it.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, right? And it can go either way. One of the things that I've seen is that when you have thousands of followers, people will feel that you have more authority
right.
than when you have 2. And from that point of view, you can pay to have followers, and it can give you an immediate authority. But what's going to happen is that, you know, at least right out the gate, 20% of those are going to drop off as soon as you stop paying. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, is that people who want to sponsor you and big brands, they're going to do their research and they know what to look for when it comes to those people.
Right.
So if you're looking to build yourself up quickly and you're trying to make yourself look good on paper, those are going to be very enticing to you. But people are going to be able to see through that. Especially when you're talking about compensation for your time. However, they can be used as a crutch in the beginning. So it's something that can get you a lot of followers right away to give you a foundation. You know, for example, on YouTube, you cannot get a custom domain unless you have 100 followers. Do you know how hard it is to get 100 followers when nobody knows who you are? It's like impossible. I have 1,000 Facebook friends, and I personally asked every single one of them to like my page
mm-hmm.
so I could get a custom domain in the early days. I got like 30, right? Okay. Not a very good return on investment right. there. You know, but with a click of a mouse and $10, I got 120. It was enough to give me the custom domain. Now I can use the custom domain in my advertising. You know, obviously it's not the check mark, right? You got a long way to go before you get the check mark on like, you know, Twitters and Instagrams and stuff like that. But it can be used as a foundation. But what I learned was that you cannot just use a paid promotion like that to get 15,000 followers, pay for them to like your thing so that your engagement rate looks good. That might be a starting point. You can start there. You know, I mean, you can kind of feel good about paying and getting likes, but they're essentially not real. but they're a way to bolster up yourself a little bit so that you look more real to the people who really matter. That came out wrong, you know, but you understand what I'm trying to say. I would just say be careful, because those people are preying on brand new content creators right now. And I would say just be careful that they're preying on those people and they're not telling the whole story. You have to have the organic growth. You need to do a paid promotion inside of Instagram in addition to something that you might do outside of Instagram that is paying for it. There's a great book called 1 Million Followers. It talks about how putting multiple ads out at the same time can really get you a lot of exposure. He even goes so far as to talk about how $7,500 can get you up to 1 million followers. And those are real followers. Those are people who really like your stuff. They really engage with your content. I've learned that for $20 on Instagram, I could get 500 to 1,000 people to like the content that I have there. You know, that $20 goes a really long way. And that could lead to 20 more people following me, real people who looked and saw what I had, said, I like this content and I'm going to follow this person. So advertising within the platform has a huge power in your favor when you're getting started. But I think what you said is probably one of the most important things that we can share with anybody, and that is the quality of the content is going to trump the distribution. If it's not good, it's probably not going to get a huge following. Mm-hmm. But the good news is that it can start poor and it can get better. Now, even people like Peter McKinnon, who have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, started off pretty mediocre.
Right.
Now, granted, he started off a long time ago and he's put a lot of work in since then. But it's easy to look at somebody like Peter McKinnon and say, oh my goodness, he is amazing. And I want to be amazing. And I'm going to go do this. And I'm going to open my YouTube account. I got a GoPro. I'm going to go do this thing and it's going to be amazing. And it's so easy to get burnout after 2-3 months and just say, well, that was a good run. I guess I'm not really meant to be a content creator. And I think Peter probably actually has a video on this, but the algorithms inside the platforms, they reward you for being a consistent publisher for a long period of time. YouTube specifically, I read an article that they will specifically limit your impressions, unless you're paying for them, if you have less than 6 months on their platform. Because they don't want the fly-by-night people to get all the attention. They want the people who put the work in.
Right. It's just like being a new employee at a job. You want to get there early. You want to show your best work, and you want to be consistent with that. If you can do that, you're going to reap the rewards from it. Any long-term employee has not done the same thing every year they're in employment. They've moved up the ranks and they've learned what it takes to improve the organization. Think about the same way as how you're representing your brand. You do it consistently and you do it with as much quality as you can. As you've said many times, you're going to make mistakes along the way, and that's okay. Learn from them, improve it, and you're going to get to where you need to be.
Absolutely.
Well, Roy, really appreciate this. We're going to include some of the links and books and so on that you mentioned in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, make sure you check out the site so you can get connected with Roy. I'm sure that you would probably invite all of our listeners to connect with you on the various platforms. So if they want to see what you're doing in practice, they can see how you're doing that and the different messages that you're pushing out there and how you're approaching it. I think that anyone that wants to go down this path, realize that there's not one answer for everyone. See a variety of examples out there and see where your place is. Understand where your message needs to be and figure it out for yourself. But have a few good examples along the way, and I hope that's what we've done today. Roy, before we have a few questions to wrap up the show, tell our listeners what's the best way for them to connect with you or your company.
Absolutely. So my company, JMC Brands, you can find us online at jmcbrands.com. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/JMC Brands. Exciting things is we're actually publishing all of the speakers from our conference last year, their entire presentations on our YouTube channel. So that was a paid conference, and we're actually giving that content away for free this year. And just if you don't mind, we're actually putting on our conference again this year, but it's going to be completely free. So if you go to jmcbrands.com and scroll to the bottom of the page, it says Adapted Digital Media Summit, or you can just go to adaptedsummit.com and sign up. And that's going to take place on October 8th. As for me personally, with my personal brand, I'm most engaged on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So youtube.com/Roy Browning. Facebook and Instagram are both Roy Browning Speaks.
All right. Well, thank you, Roy. And we'll like I said, we'll put a few links in the show notes. That summit sounds like a great opportunity for anyone that has been listening to this and saying, hey, I want to learn some more about this.
And it's kind of exciting because we invited back all the speakers from last year to say, how have you changed in the last 12 months? And it's, so we're calling it pivoting during a pandemic.
Yeah.
And we're going to ask each of them. Carlos Gill, for instance, really exciting. He was a speaker, an author, and the event industry died, right, in the midst of COVID. He now has a very successful mask company called Outlaw Masks. Mm. And you should check it out, outlawmasks.com. Carlos is a great guy. He does a lot of great things with his time and his resources. So kind of a little plug for him there too.
That sounds great. Hearing how people have successfully switched in this time, that's got to be fascinating. Okay, Roy, I've got three questions for you. Oftentimes, I try to tailor around the conversation. Today, I said, well, let's talk about what's going on just within our with where we are in the season, which is presidential. But we're going to have fun with this because we're in the marketing business and we are concerned about messaging. So I have for you today three presidential slogans from presidents of the past. And you'll get a kick out of these. I'm not expecting you to get any of these right.
Thank goodness.
But this is really interesting. I think you'll get a kick out of it. So the first one here, in 1840, William Henry Harrison and his running mate, John Tyler, were running for president and vice president. Okay, which of the following was their presidential slogan? Was it A, Bill and John's Excellent Adventure? Was it C, Harrison and Tyler for the win? Or was it C? Did I say B? It was B.
Okay.
All right, B. So A, okay, B, and then C is Tippecanoe and Tyler 2.
I'm going to go with C.
You're right.
Yes.
Tippecanoe. if you know the They Might Be Giants song, that's taken from them, but that Tippecanoe was a famous battle in 1811 in which Harrison defeated Tecumseh.
Oh, nice.
And so that's where it comes from. All right, so one for one.
Right.
One out of three so far. All right, number two. All right, so number two was in 1856, John Fremont ran for president. Was his slogan A, free soil, free labor, free speech, free men, Fremont? That's a mouthful.
How do you fit that on a pin?
Exactly. Was it B, let Fremont ring? Or was it C, Fremont or death?
I am going to go with A.
It was free soil, free labor, free speech, free men, Fremont. I think he probably could have used a good speechwriter because I have a feeling he would have rambled a bit.
Yes.
But I guess it got his matches across. Okay, great. All right, that's two. Let's see if you can go three for three here.
Oh, now I'm nervous.
And then 1924, Calvin Coolidge was running for re-election. Was his slogan, chill out with Coolidge, keep cool, keep Coolidge, or I'm cool, you're cool, we're all Coolidge.
How about B?
Man, you did. Three for three. It was keep cool and keep Coolidge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. 1924. I wouldn't have thought someone would have been saying keep cool at that point, but
yeah.
You think of that as a more of a modern terminology. Yeah. But
you said 1929?
1924.
24. Okay. Yeah, so right before the Great Depression.
Yeah, right. Well, political slogans and some of the paraphernalia that goes along with it. Interesting stuff. But
indeed.
Roy, thanks for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Three for Three is produced by the marketing experts at Clyden & Associates. Clyden is a full-service marketing agency that has been bringing ideas to life for over 45 years. Head to Clyden.com to see their work and learn more.